You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Darren Owen, John Budden and Will Smith in the studio. Three meetings coming up on Monday. We've got National Hunt action from Kempton and Ludlow, accompanied by all-weather racing on the poly track at Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. Yes, very well. And there's been some marvellous racing this weekend so far.
Yes. We'll just have a quick look back at that, John, in fact, before we get stuck into Monday's action. And we must start with the big race of the Saturday, the Betfair Chase. Went the way of Q-Card in emphatic style in the end. He won by 15 lengths, beating the returning Coney Gree. Subsequently being trimmed for the, cut quite comprehensively for the King George. He's now the 6-4 market leader for the Boxing Day spectacle. He's also been trimmed up for the Gold Cup as well. He's currently 5-1 second favourite in the market for the Gold Cup. Great performance from Q-Card.
I thought it was a tremendous performance, Mark. Yes, absolutely fantastic. I had penciled through Q-Card because I thought the ground would be too against him, far too soft, far too demanding. And so there were a couple of other horses in the race who I thought would like conditions, notably Coney Gree and the Scottish Hope, See You at Midnight. But it was a tremendous display by Q-Card. He jumped absolutely terrifically in the ground and he simply motored away up the straight, didn't he? He is, I think, to use that phrase, the people's horse. And I really do take my hat off to him. In the past, I have been a little bit doubtful about Q-Card. I've supported him on occasions, but I haven't actually, said to myself, this is the greatest horse of the current decade. However, after that win in the Betfair, his third win in the contest, you've got to say he is, a tremendous performer. And he won so well. And so I had actually, a bit before making my selection for the race, watched his fall in the Gold Cup last year. He was going amazingly well, Mark. I didn't realise quite as well as he was going. And I see absolutely no reason, if he remains, in top form, peak condition, and the Tizzards are pleased with him, why he shouldn't have a real good go at the £1 million bonus, winning both the King George and the Gold Cup. I do think Coney Gree ran well.
Yeah, it was encouraging, wasn't it, from him on his return?
Yeah, it was a good return, bearing in the time he'd been off. The Bradstock seem to think they'll reverse the running next time. I'd see no reason why they should, to be honest. The thing with Coney Gree is he sets up the race very well for a great horse like Q-Card, who I thought got to the front too early when beaten at Weatherby in the Charlie Hall, see, because the horses died in front. Coney Gree doesn't die, but he is there for a target to be aimed at by Q-Card.
Yeah.
And I do hope he wins the King George, so, we go to Cheltenham with an absolutely tremendous prospect.
Yeah, he obviously came so close, as you mentioned, last year. It would be a bit of poetic justice should he go and go one better this time round, Q-Card. We can't agree as well. We saw when he won the Gold Cup that relentless gallop from the front of a real stamina test. I think Haydock's too sharp for a horse like Coney Gree. I think he really needs to wind it up and keep winding it up over the longer testing trip in the Gold Cup.
I agree with you, Mark. Horses like Newbury and Cheltenham, for example, very much in his favour. I don't feel Kempton would necessarily be a Coney Gree horse, although he's perfectly sound to run well. A quick word about the disappointment of the race, which undoubtedly was See You at Midnight.
Yeah.
We north of the border and just south of it as well in Cumbria did think this horse had a great chance of getting in the money anyhow. And he was extremely well backed. I mean, he was as low as 5-1, having been sort of 16-1 not all that long ago. Conditions ought to have suited, but somehow his jumping didn't stand the test. And of course, he was taken on by Koenigsegg for the lead, which didn't help. But he was a big disappointment, and you know, there'll be a bit of grinding of teeth in the border country.
Yeah, yeah, ended up pulled up in the end, didn't he? I think. See you at midnight. I just want to get your thoughts on Yanworth as well from Saturday, John. Being given quotes for both the World Hurdle and the Champion Hurdle. To me, the way he stuck to his task and only got there in the final stages would suggest that he's probably not quite sharp enough for a Champion Hurdle. And if he was mine, I'd be aiming towards the World Hurdle. What are your thoughts, John?
You take the words out of my mouth, Mark. No question about that. He took a long time to pick up. Now, admittedly, at Ascot, he had to come wide all the way. He kept seemingly be pushed out that little bit further each bend there was. But a little Rockefeller, a really game individual.
Yeah.
But not anything like a Champion Hurdle class, not really. And Yanworth had to be pushed out pretty strongly to win. I agree with you. World Hurdle for Yanworth. If the ground is not too fast, I would think he'd have a very decent chance in that contest, which could cut up a bit by the time we get to March.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say one word at Ascot as well?
You are, John, yes.
The Stella Artois was a good race and won in very game style by Royal Regatta. Philip Hobbs' horse is in pretty good nick at the moment. But I napped Eduard in that contest. And actually, Mark, I thought he ran very well.
Yeah.
He did make one or two mistakes. But Ascot takes a lot of jumping, particularly if you're coming back after a 618-day absence. You may have schooled really well at home on the gallops and that kind of thing, but Ascot is a tricky horse to jump. Eduard didn't actually make any serious mistakes, but he made one or two at crucial moments, and he was left completely about three-quarters of a mile out, and I thought he was going to drop out of the picture altogether. But to give him his credit, he ran on in the straight, and he ran on really strongly over the last fence and on the run-in, only just beaten by God's Own for third place. Now, I think that was a very encouraging run by Eduard, and hopefully he will remain sound. If he does remain sound on the strength of that, he is going to win some decent races for Nicky Richards and the owners.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that, John. What did you make of God's Own, by the way? Just didn't stay the trip, do you think?
Possibly didn't stay the trip. He was ridden to get it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I also think God's Own, although he does win in the autumn, it tends to be the early autumn and the spring. I think he likes better ground. I thought he ran perfectly well, God's Own, but he didn't quite pick up enough to win.
OK, well, that's a little bit of a look back at Saturday's action. We'll move on now and get stuck into Monday's action. Some good racing over the obstacles at Kempton and some good handicaps on the all-weather at Chelmsford City as well. We're going to look at those and we'll get John's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Monday's action. The two races that we're going to look at Kempton are more competitive affairs, but just a quick note, it is worth mentioning that Altior makes his chase debut at Kempton in the 12:25, the novices chase there, and he scared all his rivals off. Altior and Black Corton, the only two left in the lineup. But it'd be nice to see how he gets on over the fences for the first time, won't it, John?
Yes, absolutely. I hope he puts in a really impressive performance because, you know, with a number of horses dropping out of contention, Altior is certainly the Nicky Henderson star of the current time, and hopefully he will go really well.
Yeah, he's had a real good start with his novice chasers as well, has Nicky Henderson. So that's the 125. That's a little side note. We're going to get stuck into the 2 o'clock proper, and this one is a listed mare's hurdle. It's over 3 miles is this one. Seven of them in the lineup here, John. Some nice mares in there as well, some that have run in pretty good company in the past. Who wins the 2 o'clock on Monday?
Yeah, that really decent race. There's only seven runners, but as you say, some decent mares taking part. I think the market will be very important for this race because a lot of the mares haven't been in action for quite a while. For example, we've got Jester's Dream. Paul Nichols is one at the top. Ran extremely well when runner-up at Fairy House when last seen, but, you know, it was a long time ago. However, you could say that Paul Nicholls has, as always, shown a dab hand at getting his horses ready to win after a long absence first time out. So I think Jester's Dream will go pretty well. I prefer Jester's Dream to the other dream in the race, Ron's Dream, who is perfectly sound, she is, but, again, hasn't been out since the spring. Did win a mare's hurdle, quite a decent one at Ayr, when last seen. But fitness, I suppose, has to be taken on trust. Of the others, Magic Money has been very consistent, but at the same time, one feels that the level of form is not quite as good as the first two I have mentioned. And I'm, in fact, going to go for Miss Crick in this contest. I thought Miss Crick ran very promisingly at Wetherby. Quite a decent listed race it was, and she wasn't beaten far. And I think the form of that race is sound, so I'm going to go for Miss Crick.
Miss Crick, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 2 o'clock at Kempton. Moving on to the 2:35 at Kempton next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over the extended 2.5 miles. We've got 8 of them to go to post here. John, and again, some nice enough horses in there. Dusky Lark and Andy Kelly and the like. What do you make of it?
Yes, this is a competitive race. May not be particularly high class, but it's going to be, I think, quite a sporting race to bet in. And I imagine that they'll go something like 5-2, 3-1, the favourite. And so what their favourite is going to be, well, I think it'll be Andy Kelly. I'll go back to him in a moment, but Andy Kelly, I think, will probably get the money. What others do we have in the contest? Well, we've got Dusky Lark. Colin Tizard can do no wrong, really. And I mentioned Paul Nicholls of producing horses first time out and doing well with them this autumn, but Colin Tizard is quite something. You know, his team are in terrific form, and although this particular individual, Dusky Lark's not been out for a long while. With a stable in such form, he has to be taken into serious consideration. In addition to him, we also have a John Joe O'Neill trained horse, Lost Legend. Now, he is very much a wallet picker. There's no doubt about that, Mark. Those people who support Lost Legend have got to have a great deal of patience. However, he does come up with the goods once or twice a season, and he quite likes running at Kempton. So I do think Lost Legend's got a chance in the race. But the selection's got to be Andy Kelly. Emma Lavelle's horse is in very good trim, and Andy Kelly won extremely well in a similar kind of contest to this at Plumpton last time out.
Andy Kelly, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 2:35 at Kempton. Moving on to the action at Chelmsford City next. A 3:30 is the first race that we look at there. It's a Class 2 handicap over a mile, a field of 14 of them here, John, and quite a competitive handicap here.
Yes, I think this is a minefield, to be honest, Mark, but nevertheless, there's some decent horses running in it, and Solar Deity comes into that category right at the top of the list. Very solid performer. Not quite as good this season as it has been in the past, but was running in a decent race at Deauville last time out, and acts on the all-weather. There's no reason why Solar Deity shouldn't run well. Third time lucky. Well, he's got to have a bit more than three races to be lucky, I think, but he's been pretty consistent third time lucky. A decent fifth last time out at Ascot in the Balmoral Handicap. Now, were he to run as well in this, you would have to say third time lucky got a major chance. However, there is a horse in the race that I like, I've always been following, and that is Fort Bastion. He sort of changes trains regularly, does Fort Bastion. Was with David O'Mara for quite a long while, and then joined Tom Dascombe, and when recently winning at Claymore, is now with the man in form, Brian Ellison. And I think Fort Bastion is very much weighted to win this contest. He seems to be running better now than at most times over the past couple of seasons, and likes Chelmsford. So Fort Bastion is the choice.
Fort Bastion then for Lord Budden to get up the hat trick. It will be three wins for three different trainers, which you don't see very often back to back. And the final race we look at is the 4 o'clock at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 2 handicap over 5 furlongs. There's plenty in here with chances, John, but I'd like to start with Kimberella, because he's a real solid top credit, handicap sprinter.
An absolute credit to Connections, Kimberilla. I mean, he's been in action since the spring and is still running virtually as well as he was then now in the late autumn or early winter, and ran a perfectly sound third last time out in a decent race, every bit as competitive as this one. And if Kimberilla gets out really quickly, he could well dominate. I like Chelmsford for the type of horse that Kimberilla is. He likes to be prominent, he likes to attack from the front, and Kimberilla could easily win this contest. Equally so, I thought Boson Fred, another northern trained horse, McEasterby trains this one, has got credentials to go pretty well. Was in excellent form earlier in the season. Disappointed last time out in the Portland. I think something went wrong, 20 of 20, but had run well at Haydock before that. Could go very well. However, one of the trainers very much in form at the moment is David Simcock, and he's got a horse lurking in this race, in my view, called Dr. Sardonicus. And Dr. Sardonicus was only just mugged at Chelmsford last time out. I think the shorter trip will suit. So, Dr. Sardonicus.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, John, as usual, I have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you just wouldn't mind confirming our selections for us then for Monday.
Well, we started with the 2 o'clock at Kempton, and I'm going for Miss Crick in the 2 o'clock at Kempton. I do think Emma Lavelle's Andy Kelly ought to have a great chance to win the 2:35. In the 3:35 at Chelmsford, old favourite of mine, Fort Bastion. And as we've just said, in the next race, I very much go for Dr. Sardonicus.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Will indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden. He's in the studio on Monday. He's joined by Darren Owen and Will Smith. We've got Kempton, Ludlow and Chelmsford to look forward to. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.